Chapter 3. Liaison. This chapter defines and describes the role of liaison. It then discusses the liaison element and common ways to organize the liaison element. It addresses liaison functions and responsibilities for sending units, receiving units, and liaisons. The chapter concludes with a discussion on special considerations for liaison. Role of liaison. Liaison is that contact or intercommunication maintained between elements of military forces or other agencies to ensure mutual understanding and unity of purpose and action. Liaison is most commonly used for establishing and maintaining close communications. This enables continuous and direct physical communications among commands and, when necessary, unified action partners. Commanders use liaisons during normal daily activities and operations to help facilitate a shared understanding and purpose among organizations, preserve freedom of action, and maintain flexibility. Liaisons provide commanders with relevant information and answers to operational questions. This enhances commanders' situational understanding. Note: liaisons are not planners nor battle captains. Liaisons are often identified as on-call representatives to the plan cell when specific unit or subject matter input is required. Liaisons also work with the current operations integration cell to obtain and disseminate the information needed to be passed between the sending organization and the receiving organization. However, leaders should not expect the liaison to fulfill responsibilities of a planner or watch officer. Liaisons support the commander's ability to synchronize and focus combat power. They establish and maintain physical contact and communications between military units and unified action partners during operations. Liaisons ensure cooperation and understanding among commanders and staffs of different headquarters, coordination on operational matters to achieve unity of effort, synchronization of lethal and non-lethal effects across multiple domains, understanding of implied or inferred coordination measures to achieve synchronized results. Liaison element. A liaison element is composed of either an individual liaison officer, a liaison team, or a liaison detachment. Based on the situation and types of operations, commanders may receive or request different types of liaison elements to assist with command and control in the various domains. Types of liaison elements include, but are not limited to, liaisons to and from subordinate, adjacent, and supporting units, liaisons to and from unified action partners, see JP3-16, an air liaison officer, see FM3-09 and JP3-09, a naval gunfire liaison officer, see FM3-09 and JP3-09, an Army space support team, see FM3-14, a Special Operations Liaison Officer, see ADP3-05, Army Special Operations Forces Liaison Element, see FM3-53, an Army Cyberspace Operations Support Team, see FM3-12, an Army Information Operations IO Field Support Team, see FM3-13, a Digital Liaison Detachment, see ATP3-94.1. The recommended organization of personnel in the liaison element varies by echelon. The commander must determine how best to organize a liaison element given the availability of qualified liaisons, echelon of command, and mission variables: mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, and informational considerations, also known as METTCI. A liaison element can be, but is not limited to, a liaison officer, individual, a liaison team, two or more liaison officers, a liaison detachment, two or more liaison teams. Liaison officer. A liaison officer, LNO, is an individual who represents a commander or staff officer for the purpose of maintaining contact or intercommunication between units or organizations. A trained, competent, trusted, and informed LNO is the key to effective liaison. LNOs must have the commander's full confidence and experience for the mission. LNOs generally transmit information directly bypassing headquarters and staff layers. At higher echelons, the complexity of operations often requires more experience, reflected in higher rank required for LNOs. A LNO normally remains at the receiving unit or organization until recalled by the sending unit. The LNO's parent unit is referred to as the sending unit. The unit or activity that the LNO is sent to is the receiving unit. As their commander's representative, LNOs must convey the sending and receiving unit's commander's intent, guidance, mission, and concept of operations. Keep the sending unit informed of the receiving unit plans and operations. Represent the sending unit commander's position. Ensure missions being assigned to the sending unit match its capabilities. Know how to access sending and receiving unit information. Know the sending unit's mission, current and future operations, logistics status, organization, disposition, capabilities, and tactics, techniques, and procedures. Appreciate and understand the receiving unit's customs, organization, capabilities, mission, doctrine, and tactics, techniques, and procedures. Anticipate questions and potential points of conflict and prevent or resolve misunderstandings. Be familiar with requirements for and purpose of liaison, the liaison system and its reports, documents, and records, liaison team training. Observe the established channels of command and staff functions. Be tactful and articulate. Possess familiarity with local culture and language when liaising with the host nation or with multinational partners, and have advanced regional expertise if possible. LNOs generally have access to the commander consistent with the duties involved. However, for routine matters, LNOs work for and receive direction from the Chief of Staff, COS, or Executive Officer, XO. Using one officer to perform a liaison mission across the command conserves manpower while guaranteeing a consistent, accurate flow of information. However, continuous operations may require a liaison team or liaison detachment. Liaison team. A liaison team consists of two or more LNOs, or LNOs with a liaison non-commissioned officer in charge, clerical personnel, and communications personnel along with their equipment. A liaison team is generally used when the volume or intensity of the duties required exceeds the capabilities of an individual LNO, or the separation of units and networks prevents an individual LNO from maintaining situational awareness and connectivity. An example of this is when liaisons are sent to a headquarters with subordinate organizations from Unified Action Partners. Liaison detachment. Multiple liaison teams working together is known as a liaison detachment. The most commonly known liaison detachment for the Army is the digital liaison detachment. A digital liaison detachment is composed of several teams with expertise and equipment in specialized areas, such as intelligence, operations, fire support, air defense, and sustainment. Digital liaison detachments are a unique liaison capability that provides Army commanders with units to conduct liaison within major subordinate or parallel headquarters. Digital liaison detachments consist of staff officers with communications equipment and a broad range of expertise capable of analyzing the situation, facilitating coordination between Unified Action Partners, and assisting in cross-boundary information flow and operational support. These organizations are not only used for routine liaison, but also for advising and assisting Unified Action Partners when planning and executing operations. These detachments can operate as a single entity for liaison with a larger Unified Action Headquarters, or provide two smaller teams for digital connectivity and liaison with smaller multinational headquarters. Commanders can tailor digital liaison detachments to match a given mission. The basis of digital liaison detachments allocation is 5 per committed theater army, 1 per corps and division serving as a joint task force headquarters or as approved by the Department of the Army. The support requirement for a coalition during counterinsurgency or foreign internal defense is one digital liaison detachment for each Unified Action Headquarters, division or above, and one for the host nation Ministry of Defense. See ATP 3-94.1 for more information on digital liaison detachments. Note: if either the sending or receiving commander foresees the need to have a liaison element, individual or team presence for an extended period, it is beneficial to have a signed memorandum of agreement between the two organizations that clearly defines the responsibilities and the limitations of all parties. Functions of liaison. Liaison elements, whether individually or in teams, perform several critical functions that are consistent across all military operations. The extent that these functions are performed depends on the mission and the charter established by the sending organization's commander. The four basic functions of liaison: monitor operations, coordinate among staffs, advise on capabilities, assist in the passing of information. Monitor operations. A liaison monitors operations of both the receiving and sending organizations and understands how each affects the other. At a minimum, a liaison must understand the intent of both the sending and receiving commander, the current situation, planned future operations, and pertinent staff issues. These details will help the liaison monitor the operation while maintaining a working relationship between the sending and receiving organizations. To help monitor operations, the liaison must understand the battle rhythm of the receiving unit and inputs to the various meeting and working groups. Liaisons must continually assess where they need to be during the daily operations cycle so they stay abreast of the current situation and keep their sending headquarters fully informed. Coordinate among staffs. Coordination among staffs alleviates problems before they become elevated. By understanding the receiving unit's information requirements, the liaison can help give the sending unit the maximum amount of time possible to prepare products. In some cases, the liaison can provide required information from available sources, thus reducing the demand for information from the sending unit. The liaison should routinely meet with staff officers and commanders in the receiving headquarters and should know how to contact them readily. To enhance the communications process, the liaison gathers and sends copies of the receiving unit's standard operating procedures, SOPs, organizational charts, and report formats to the sending unit. The liaison can also provide the receiving command with the sending unit's SOPs, organizational charts, intelligence products, and other useful information. The liaison is an important capability, facilitating effective coordination among staffs. However, the liaison's work is not a substitute for proper staff interaction. Staff-to-staff coordination is essential at all levels to ensure unity of effort. Established command and control procedures, such as fragmentary orders, warning orders, and operation orders, are the proper method for communicating specific orders, and not liaisons. Advise on capabilities. A liaison is the receiving unit's expert on the sending unit's capabilities and limitations. The liaison advises the receiving headquarters commander and staff on the optimum employment of the sending unit's capabilities. Liaisons must be able to answer capability questions posed by the receiving headquarters and other units. However, liaisons only have the authority to make decisions on the allocation of capabilities that the sending unit commander has delegated to them. Liaisons must exercise caution to ensure that they do not obligate the sending unit to missions that exceed the specified scope of the operation, or that they pass information that should be forwarded through normal command channels. Assist in the passing of information. Liaisons must assist in the passing of information on two levels. First, they must act as the conduit between their command and the receiving command. For example, to further assist the information flow between commands, the liaison should review message addresses and distribution lists. This will ensure that official correspondence between commands is routed properly. The liaison also facilitates the submission of required reports from the sending unit to the receiving headquarters. Second, liaisons must integrate themselves into the receiving unit's daily operations in order to provide the most current information for decision-making. By integrating themselves into the receiving unit's daily operation cycle and battle rhythm, LNOs can answer questions from groups such as the targeting cell, plans cell, and command group to ensure those groups make informed decisions. Liaison responsibilities. Maintaining effective liaison is a significant responsibility. Liaisons must be an integral part of both the receiving and sending unit staffs. These officers have specific responsibilities throughout a liaison tour. These responsibilities can be divided as sending unit responsibilities, receiving unit responsibilities, liaison responsibilities. Sending unit responsibilities. The most important sending unit responsibility is to select and train the best qualified soldiers for liaison duties. Liaison personnel capably perform tasks discussed in this chapter. To help ensure effective liaison, the sending unit should describe liaison procedures in its unit SOP. At a minimum, the SOP includes a liaison handbook, sample questions that liaison should be able to answer, and a liaison packing list. The sending unit should be able to describe the liaison element capabilities to the receiving unit and provide the number and types of vehicles, personnel, equipment, call signs, and frequencies. They should also identify liaison requirements for such things as point-to-point transportation, identification and appropriate credentials for the receiving unit, appropriate security clearance, courier orders, and information systems accredited for use on the receiving unit's network, the SOPs outlining the missions, functions, procedures, and duties of the sending unit's liaison section. If the receiving unit is multinational, communications equipment and personnel to assist liaisons with linguistic challenges and to ensure compatibility with communication systems. The movement from the sending unit to the receiving unit requires careful planning and coordination. Receiving unit responsibilities. Units receiving liaisons have responsibilities to provide access and support. Without adequate access to unit meetings and facilities, as well as life support, liaisons will not be able to accomplish their duties. The receiving unit provides the sending unit with the liaison's reporting time, place, points of contact, recognition signal, and password. Provides details of any tactical movement and logistics information relevant to the liaison's mission, especially while the liaison is in transit. Ensures that the liaison has access to the commander, the COS or XO, and other officers as required. Gives the liaison an initial briefing of the unit battle rhythm and allows the liaison access necessary to remain informed of current operations. Protects the liaison while at the receiving unit. Publishes an SOP outlining the missions, functions, procedures to request information, information release restrictions and clearance procedures, and duties of the liaison at the receiving unit. If possible, provides access to communications equipment and operating instructions as needed when the liaison needs to communicate using the receiving unit's equipment. Provides adequate workspace for the liaisons. Provides logistics support or agreed to host nation or unified action partner support. Liaison responsibilities upon arrival. Upon arrival, the liaison completes in-processing and verifies the concept of operations with the receiving unit's commander and staff. The liaison integrates with the receiving unit's staff and begins to perform duties as required. Specific responsibilities may include, but are not limited to, check in with security and complete any required documentation. Report to and present credentials to the COS or XO or supervisor as appropriate. Arrange for an office call with the commander. Meet coordinating and special staff officers. Notify the sending unit of arrival. Use the liaison establishment report. Visit staff elements, brief them on the sending unit situation, and collect information from them. Deliver all correspondence designated for the receiving unit. Liaison responsibilities during the tour. During their tour, liaisons have specific responsibilities. Liaisons inform the receiving unit's commander or staff of the sending unit's needs or requirements. Due to the numbers of liaisons in the headquarters, sending units guard against inundating the receiving unit with formal requests for information. By virtue of their location in the headquarters and knowledge of the situation, liaisons can rapidly answer questions from the sending unit and keep the receiving unit from wasting planning time answering requests for information. During the liaison tour, liaisons' responsibilities are, but not limited to, arrive at the designated location on time, keep a daily log of activities, promote cooperation between the sending and receiving units, accomplish their mission without becoming overly involved in the receiving unit's staff procedures or actions, however they may assist higher echelon staffs in wargaming. Follow the receiving unit's communications procedures. Inform the sending unit headquarters of planned communications outages, such as when the receiving unit displaces. Actively obtain information without interfering with the receiving unit's operations. Facilitate understanding of the sending unit's commander's intent. Help the sending unit's commander assess current and future operations. Remain informed of the sending unit's current situation and provide that information to the receiving unit's commander and staff. Quickly inform the sending unit of the receiving unit's upcoming missions, tasks, and orders. Ensure the sending unit has a copy of the receiving unit's SOP. Inform the receiving unit's commander or COS or XO of the content of reports transmitted to the sending unit. Keep a record of their reports, listing everyone met, including each person's name, rank, duty position, email address, and telephone number, as well as key staff members and their telephone numbers and email address. Attempt to resolve issues within the receiving unit before involving the sending unit. Notify the sending unit promptly if unable to accomplish the liaison mission. Pick up all courier correspondence for the sending unit when departing the receiving unit. Inform the receiving unit of the liaison officer's departure time, return route, and expected arrival time at the sending unit. Submit a liaison disestablishment report to the sending unit when departing. Report their departure to the receiving unit's commander at the end of their mission. Once a deploying liaison arrives and sets up communications at the receiving unit, they submit a unit liaison establishment report to the sending unit. This report informs the sending unit's command that the liaison is ready to conduct liaison, and it establishes exactly what systems are available. A redeploying liaison submits a liaison disestablishment report to the sending unit as a last action prior to disconnecting digital devices. This report informs the command that the liaison is leaving the network and is no longer capable of conducting liaison at any level beyond unsecure voice. See unit SOPs for liaison establishment report and liaison disestablishment report formats. Liaison responsibilities after the tour. After returning, liaisons promptly transmit the receiving unit's requests to the sending unit's commander or staff as appropriate. A liaison tour is not complete until a liaison has fulfilled the after-tour duties. After-tour duties include, but are not limited to, briefing the COS or XO and appropriate staff elements, preparing the necessary reports, conducting an after-action review. Effective returning liaisons provide clear, concise, complete information. If the accuracy of information is in doubt, they quote the receiving unit's source and include the source in the report. Liaisons limit their remarks to mission-related observations. Special considerations. Liaison practices for unified action operations require greater liaison efforts than liaison between Army headquarters. Most of these operations involve liaisons understanding other staff organization, doctrine, and authorities. Liaisons for these types of operations may require additional training, information systems, and expertise to perform their mission. When possible, a liaison is sent from a lower echelon to a higher echelon, a supporting echelon to a supported echelon, and between adjacent organizations. Liaison must be reciprocal when U.S. forces are placed under control of a headquarters of a different nationality and vice versa, or when brigade-sized and larger formations of different nationalities are adjacent. When not reciprocal, the following practices apply to liaison where applicable. In contiguous operations, units on the left establish liaison with units on their right. In contiguous operations, units of the same echelon establish liaison with those to their front. In non-contiguous operations, units establish liaison with units within closest proximity. Units not in contact with the enemy establish liaison with units in contact with the enemy. During a passage of lines, the passing unit establishes liaison with the stationary unit. During a relief in place, the relieving unit establishes liaison with the unit being relieved. If liaison is broken, both units act to reestablish it. However, the primary responsibility rests with the unit originally responsible for establishing liaison. Joint operations. Serving as a liaison to a joint forces headquarters is typically more challenging than serving to an army headquarters. In order to be effective, liaisons serving on a joint headquarters must adequately understand joint doctrine, a joint headquarters organization, and joint headquarters functions. Joint terminology used at the joint headquarters may have different definitions and associated connotations from Army terminology. Therefore, liaisons must ensure they achieve mutual understanding and communicate the meaning, not simply the terms, to the commander and organization which they represent. Furthermore, not all information systems used within a joint headquarters may be fully compatible with those used among subordinate echelons. Liaisons must determine how to best communicate with their parent organization. Interagency operations. Army forces may participate in interagency operations, especially when conducting stability or defense support of civil authorities operations. Frequently, Army forces conduct operations in cooperation with or in support of civilian government agencies. Relationships in these operations are rarely based on standard military command and support relationships. Rather, national laws or specific agreements for each situation govern the specific relationships in interagency operations. Defense support of civil authorities provides an excellent example. Federal military forces that respond to a domestic disaster will support the Federal Emergency Management Agency, while National Guard forces working in state active duty status, Title 32 United States Code, or conducting National Guard defense support of civil authorities will support that state's emergency management agency. National Guard forces federalized under Title 10 United States Code will support the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The goal is always unity of effort of military forces and civilian agencies, although unity of command may not be possible. Effective liaison and continuous coordination become keys to mission accomplishment. Some missions require coordination with non-governmental organizations. While no overarching interagency doctrine delineates or dictates the relationships and procedures governing all agencies, departments, and organizations in interagency operations, the National Response Framework provides some guidance. Effective liaison elements work toward establishing mutual trust and confidence, continuously coordinating actions to achieve cooperation and unity of effort. In these situations, liaisons require a broader understanding of the interagency environment, responsibilities, motivations, and limitations of non-governmental organizations, and the relationships these organizations have with the U.S. military. See JP3-08 for more information on interorganizational cooperation. Multinational operations. Multinational operations present unique command and control challenges. These include cultural and language issues, interoperability challenges, national caveats on the use of forces, the sharing of information and intelligence, and rules of engagement. Establishing SOPs and liaison with multinational partners is critical to effective command and control. When commanding and controlling forces within a multinational training or operational setting, Army commanders should be familiar with and employ multinational doctrine and standards ratified by the United States. For example, Allied Tactical Publication 3.2.2 applies to Army forces during the conduct of North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, operations. See FM 3-16 for a detailed discussion on multinational operations. Army units often operate as part of a multinational force. Interoperability is an essential requirement for multinational operations. The NATO defines interoperability as the ability to operate in synergy in the execution of assigned tasks. Interoperability is also the condition achieved among communications electronic systems or items of satisfactory communication between them and their users. The degree of interoperability should be defined when referring to specific cases. Examples of interoperability include the deployment of a computer network, such as the Combined Enterprise Network Theater Information Exchange System, to facilitate staff intercommunication. Nations whose forces are interoperable can operate together effectively in numerous ways. Less interoperable forces have correspondingly fewer ways to work together. Although frequently identified with technology, important areas of interoperability include doctrine, procedures, communications, and training. Factors that enhance interoperability include planning for interoperability, conducting multinational training exercises, staff visits to assess multinational capabilities, a command atmosphere that rewards sharing information and emphasizes the joint's right for release, and command emphasis on a constant effort to eliminate the sources of confusion and misunderstanding. The multinational forces with which the U.S. operates may not have information systems that are compatible with U.S. or coalition systems. Some nations may lack computerized information systems. Reciprocal liaison is especially important under these conditions. Mutual trust and confidence is the key to making these multinational operations successful. Liaison during multinational operations includes explicit coordination of doctrine and tactics, techniques, and procedures. Effective liaison requires patience and tact during personal interactions. A liaison needs a thorough understanding of the strategic, operational, and tactical aims of the international effort. Foreign disclosure limitations often require special communications and liaison arrangements to address cultural differences and sensitivities, and to ensure explicit understanding throughout the multinational force. The liaison should coordinate with the unit foreign disclosure officer to ensure the information releasability to multinational partners. A multinational coordination center, or coalition coordination center, is a means of increasing multinational coordination. U.S. commanders routinely create such a center in the early stages of any coalition effort, especially one that is operating under a parallel command structure. It is a proven means of integrating the participating nation's military forces into the coalition planning and operations processes, enhancing coordination and cooperation, and supporting an open and full interaction within the coalition structure. Normally, the Multinational Coordination Center focuses upon coordination of coalition force operations, which will most likely involve classified information. See FM 3-16 and JP 3-16 for more information on multinational operations. Conclusion. While different situations will offer unique challenges, all liaisons must remember that they represent their commanders and their organizations. Their actions must remain synchronized with their commander's intent, and they must stay aware of changing priorities. Likewise, effective liaisons are loyal to their commanders, yet they are professional and diplomatic in their engagements with those outside the organization who hold different perspectives. Whether representing a battalion or a theater army, liaisons must be effective communicators and work with a variety of personalities and individuals from various backgrounds who represent organizations ranging from higher echelon headquarters to multinational partners and other unified action partners.